If you would look into your Bibles at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, reading through verse 8, or you can see it on the screen behind me. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. You remember Paul is in prison, probably in Rome. Epaphras, who is from Colossae, has come to visit him there in prison and to minister to him. And as he is there, I'm thinking he's probably telling Paul some of the things that's going on at the church in Colossae. And so what does Paul do? He picks up a pen and he writes a letter to those brethren who are in Colossae. Now, though he has never been to Colossae himself, he cares about the believers there. He wants them to grow in their faith. He wants them to be rooted into Jesus. And we need to understand the importance of that for ourselves still today. When we come out of that baptismal water, Jesus wants us to grow in him. He wants us to grow our roots down deep into him. We are to mature in the faith. We are not to stay the same. And that's a challenge for each and every one of us. From these few verses that I have read to you, I want to highlight for you three truths that I think would be good for us to see today. And the first truth is this: it's important that we pray for each other. Paul was quite a prayer warrior. I did a little research on that very thing of how often Paul mentioned in his letter writing that he was praying for the other believers in the various churches. And it's a lot. Let me read to you some of what I have found. And if you have your Bibles, you may want to follow along with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Again, noting the emphasis upon prayer towards God for the other believers. Verse 15, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while mentioning you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." Look over at chapter 3 of Ephesians, verses 14 through 17. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ." Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 1, If you're in your Bibles, just turn a couple of pages over. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. If you look at chapter 1, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of God. Let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians. I know I'm reading a lot of scripture this morning, but I'm making a point, the importance of praying for one another. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. There seems to be a reoccurring theme here, doesn't there? Paul is praying for the saints everywhere. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I could read more, but I think you're getting the point. Intercessory prayer was very important to Paul. It was a high priority for him. And you know what? It was for Jesus too. And John 17 is an entire chapter giving us insight to Jesus's intercessory prayer for his 12 disciples. And did you know that there are a couple of verses in that chapter where Jesus was actually praying for you and me? Let me read that to you. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. This is Jesus praying to the Father. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, speaking of the 12 disciples, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's you and me. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Isn't that cool? That Jesus had you and me on his mind before we even existed. And he was praying for us. And what was it that he was praying for us about? That we would be one so that the world might believe. I did a Bible study lesson this last week, and in that lesson, it was talking about all of the different things that Jesus is doing in heaven since he left this earth and went back there to be with his heavenly Father. One of the things he's doing is he's praying for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, he lives to make intercession for us. Chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 24 says, he appears before God on our behalf. It humbles me, and it gives me great joy to know that Jesus is in heaven praying for me. He's praying for you. Hear me say this. If Paul thought it was good to be a prayer warrior on behalf of his fellow believers, and Jesus is going to the Father in our behalf, then I think it's safe to say that you and I ought to be prayer warriors for one another. I noticed, too, how Paul spent the majority of his intercessory prayer time. He spent time praying for his fellow believers to be growing deeper in their faith. He prayed that they would be rooted deeper into Jesus, that their love would grow, that they would bear fruit. He prayed that they might know him and the power of his resurrection. He prayed that they would have that resurrection power in their lives. It makes my prayers seem kind of shallow, I have to admit. How often is our prayer list for one another more like a hospital roll call list? Now, I don't mean to belittle the importance of praying for the sick. Don't go away thinking that I'm saying that. I'm not saying that at all. Because if I'm sick, or if I have one of my loved ones sick, I want you to pray for them. That's very important to me, that I have, and those that I love have, your prayer support in that time of need. And I know you feel the same way. When you have someone who is sick that you love, you want the church family praying for them. And we need to be that prayer support for one another. Because you know what? I believe God still answers prayers. Amen? I believe he's still in the business of doing miracles. And I believe what James says in chapter 5, where it says the prayer of a righteous man has great effect. It has great power. And so you combine that, you multiply that, and you have a group of people who are trying to be holy before the Lord, and you have them praying for a certain need in unison. I think God hears those prayers, and oftentimes God will work miracles because of those prayers, and we've seen them. But here's my concern. Sometimes I wonder if we are more prayerful for one another's physical well-being and not so much prayerful for one another's spiritual well-being. Think about that. I heard it said that we pray more fervently to keep people out of heaven than what we pray fervently to get them into heaven. And you say, what? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that we are good about praying for one another physically. Dear Lord, please don't let Georgie die. We want to keep her here with us for a while longer. But how much time do we spend praying fervently for Georgie's soul to be rooted deeply into Jesus? I do value and covet your prayers for me. I know those prayers make a difference. Last week, Rick Masters sent me a text that was very meaningful to me. I had mentioned in my sermon last Sunday that I had learned something brand new in my study that week. And I referenced the word prodigal as I was preaching last Sunday. I said, is it really the prodigal son, or is it the prodigal father? And if you didn't hear that sermon, you should go back and listen to it on our church website. Rick texted me afterwards, and he said, I prayed for you last Friday before I preached on Sunday. He prayed for me that I would learn something brand new in my study that week. And so when I mentioned that in my preaching, that I had learned something brand new, I know bells were ringing in Rick's ears. And I do appreciate you praying for me. I appreciate Rick praying for me. He tells me all the time that he prays for me every week. And many of you have told me that. And I need that desperately as your pastor. But may we learn from Jesus and Paul about how to pray for each other, that it's not just about the physical, but it's also about the spiritual. That we would grow our roots down deep into Jesus. As we pray for one another, let's not just pray for Georgie to get well, but let's pray for Georgie's spiritual roots to grow deep into Jesus Christ. When I see Paul's prayers in the New Testament, those are the kinds of things that he's praying about the most. As he's praying for the saints at Colossae, as he's praying for the saints at Philippi, as he's praying for the saints in Corinth, he's praying that they would know Jesus and that their spiritual roots would go deep. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. My point to you is simply this. It is very important that we pray for each other. Would you make that a habit? Whether we're praying for one another by name specifically, or whether we're praying for the saints at Reinhardt, that our roots would go deep into Jesus. Here's the second truth that I want you to see from this text. The gospel, the word of truth, is supposed to grow. Look back at our text for just a moment, and if Mason would just put that text on the screen there, I won't necessarily read it to you, but you can read it as I'm talking to you from Colossians chapter 2, verses 5, or Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Note from the text how the gospel is growing in all the world. And it's growing in Colossae, and it's bearing fruit constantly. I think it's important that we note this is what's supposed to happen. The church is not to stay the same. The church is not just our little group of people that we can feel comfortable with. The church is supposed to grow. And that's what happened in the book of Acts. If you look and just check out the book of Acts, if you read through the book of Acts, you will see that this is what was happening. Chapter 1 of Acts, 120 people. That was the size of the number of believers. In chapter 2 of Acts, there were 3,000 who came to Christ on Pentecost. In chapter 2 of Acts, verse 47, it says the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. In Acts chapter 4, it says that the number had come to be about 5,000 men. That doesn't even include the women and children. In Acts 5:14, it says multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. A lot of Bible scholars suggest that by this time, the numbers who were coming into the church were so great that they couldn't even put a count on them. And so they said multitudes of people were coming to Jesus. In Acts 17, they're accused of upsetting the whole world with the gospel. You see, the church was growing in those early days, and that's what it was meant to do. This mentality of, I want the church to stay small so I can be comfortable and know everyone. That is not a biblical mentality. And so my prayer is simply this: dear God, help us here at Reinhardt to have the understanding and the conviction that the church is supposed to grow, and help us to do our part in helping that to happen. Lord, would you help us to desire the church to grow as you desire it to grow? Lord, help us to pray for the church to grow. Lord, help us to invite people to come to church so that it can grow. And more importantly than that, so that those people whom we love, whom we are giving invitations to, help them to find Jesus as Savior and Lord. And Lord, help us to welcome visitors when they come so that it can be a good first-time experience for them. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you, and help us to live what we believe. Lord, would you help us to do everything that we can possibly do to help this church to grow? Simply because we know that that's what you want. Here's a third truth that I want you to see from this text. There should be evidence of the growth that is taking place in our personal lives. We've talked about the church as a whole growing and constantly growing and bearing fruit, it says in this text in Colossians. But Paul mentions too the spiritual growth that should be evidenced in the lives of individual believers. Verse 4 mentions the faith that the Colossian believers had in Jesus. Faith is not something that's just on the inside of us. Faith is that which is on the inside, but it shows up on the outside. It overflows from the inside out. It becomes visible. Yes, we are saved by faith. And faith alone. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that he is the resurrected Lord. But that faith is not passive, it's active. The Bible speaks of a faith that works. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith. In other words, our faith should be evidenced by how we live our life. Our faith shows up in how we treat each other. Our faith shows up in how we talk and how we think and what we're looking at with our eyes. Our faith will show up in how we love each other. And that leads me to the second evidence that Paul mentions in his text. We should have plenty of love that goes around. So we're talking about the evidences of what is on the inside of us. It's faith that works, and it's a love that goes round. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's John 13:35. I want to show you this video that I found on my nephew Sean's church website as they had their own Night to Remember in 2022. Watch this. Thank you. Isn't that awesome? I know there's a lot of ways to love people, and we need to search out those ways. But this is one way. This is one very special way that we can show Christ's love to people. And again, I ask you to be praying for this special night, February 17th, that we can let His love shine through us. My challenge to you is to let Jesus' love flow through you. Be a channel of His great love. And let it begin at home and how you love your spouse and your kids. And kids that might be in this auditorium today, let His love shine through you and how you love your parents. And let His love shine through you as to how you love your siblings when they annoy you. May His love shine in all of us as we forgive those who offend us. May we love our neighbor as we have been loved by Jesus. May we love the fella at work who gets on our nerves. May we love our boss who really frustrates us. And may we love our enemies as Jesus has loved us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We love because He first loved us, says 1 John 4:19. And then there is a third evidence that Paul mentions in this text, and that is hope. He mentions faith, and he mentions love, and he mentions hope. These should be the evidences that we have of our personal relationship with Jesus. The Hebrews 6:19 from the New Living Translation says, "This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls." I want to read to you from David Jeremiah's book, The Jesus You May Not Know. We're starting a Monday Bible study. Tomorrow will be the very first study. And as I was preparing for that lesson and reading the chapter in this book that goes along with that lesson, this is what I came across, and it's good. He says, "We don't need to wait with fear or insecurity. We can know that we have eternal life right now. An incident occurred during the reign of Queen Victoria of England that made a great change in her life. The Queen attended a Sunday service at St. Paul's Cathedral where something in the sermon gripped her heart and she couldn't forget its impact. Later, she wrote a note to her chaplain to inquire about her concern. Her letter asked this question: Can one be absolutely sure in this life of eternal safety? The chaplain responded in a letter saying, "No, there's no way that anyone can be absolutely sure." Her question and the chaplain's answer were somehow leaked and came to the attention of a humble minister by the name of John Townsend, an intimate friend of George Mueller. After reading the Queen's request and the incorrect answer from the chaplain, John Townsend decided to respond to the Queen. He sent her a note saying, "To Her Gracious Majesty, our beloved Queen Victoria, from one of her most humble subjects, with trembling hands, but heart-filled love, and because I know that we can be absolutely sure now of our eternal home in the house that Jesus went to prepare, may I ask Your Most Gracious Majesty to read the following passages of Scripture, John 3:16 and Romans 10:9 and 10. These passages prove there is full assurance of salvation by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ for those who believe and accept His finished work. I sign myself your servant for Jesus' sake, John Townsend. 2 weeks later, Victoria sent a response back to him. To John Townsend, your letter of recent date received and in reply would state that I have carefully and prayerfully read the following portions of Scripture referred to. I believe in a finished work of Christ for me and trust by God's grace to meet you in that home of which he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Signed, Victoria. Isn't that great? A home where the Queen of England will be co-heirs with the lowly of England. And we can know without a doubt that heaven is ours as we live here on this earth. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. And I want you to have that hope. I want all of us to have that secure hope, and that should be a testimony to the world. You know, the people of the world have no hope. If they don't have Jesus, they have zero hope. And I imagine it will show up on their faces, and it will show up in the despair that they feel. But on the other hand, you and I have hope through Jesus. That whatever comes our way, we have hope. We have assurance that we will win over that adversity that we are facing. And ultimately, we have the promise of eternal victory over the curse of sin. It's a wonderful thing to have hope. And according to the scripture that we've read from Colossians, we have an upward spiral. You've heard of the downward spiral. We don't want to get on a downward spiral. But Paul here is mentioning an upward spiral that we all want to be a part of. Our hope in Jesus spurs us on to a deeper faith and a greater love. And as our faith grows and as our love grows, you know what else grows? Our hope. Our hope gets stronger, and our hope then leads to more love and a deeper faith, and which leads to more hope. It's an upward spiral that we need to be in on. And so my questions to you as we conclude today is simply this. Do you have a faith that is growing deeper in Jesus? Do you have a love that is reaching out to others? And do you have a hope that is steadfast and secure? I pray so. Let's pray. God, help us to have these evidences in our lives. And help us to be a praying church. And help us to be a growing church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.